seated, please. And I think we fixed the problem with the buzzer, so it shouldn't go off this time. The court is now ready to hear argument in 070043, Dynegy Midstream Services versus Apache Corporation.
May it please the court, Mr. Hatchell will present argument for the petitioners. Petitioners have reserved 5 minutes for rebuttal.
The buzzer was operated by something that looked like a gas pedal. And one of my first stints as the marshal of the court, I accidentally hit the gas pedal when the first lawyer came up. The lawyer happened to be my father. That light came on, so I know that we are all appreciative of advances in technology. This suit is a suit for failure to pay for gas sold by Apache to Zasado under a contract whereby Apache was paid a percentage of proceeds from the sale of the gas after it had been processed by Zasado. The trial court rendered a judgment non obstante veredicto on the ground that the payment provisions of the contract, which he had provided the court, were unambiguous, and Versado had paid all it was required to pay. But the Court of Appeals reversed and rendered judgment on the contract claim, creating, in our judgment, a payment obligation not mentioned in the contract that is not based on gas sold, which is the only payment standard, but based somehow on the volume of gas delivered at the wellhead, and that's why we are here today. Despite a fairly voluminous record, the facts that the court needs to know to decide this case are actually quite few. The first thing you need to know is what the payment provisions in the contracts are, and they're not consistent, but they fall into three categories, and we have provided those to you. The typical one reads, buyer shall pay seller some percentage of the net proceeds from the sale of any residue gas. And that certainly seems simple enough. And it becomes very simple when the court considers two admitted facts in this case. Fact number one, it is admitted that Versado properly measured and properly accounted for all gas that it sold at the tailgate of its plant. And second, it is admitted that Versado has correctly paid Apache for all gas sold at the tailgate of the plant. And so you're sitting there asking me, well, what's the dispute in this case? Where's the beef, so to speak? Well, the contract question in this case submitted this inquiry. Did Versado fail to comply with each of the contracts by failing to pay Apache for unaccounted for gas? What had happened was, in a routine audit, Apache found certain balancing statements, which are internal check and balance statements, by which Versado attempts to measure the efficiency of its system by comparing the amount of gas received at the well from the wellheads and the amount of gas received at the end. The balancing statements have nothing whatsoever to do with payment for gas, however, because that is based upon gas sold, and it's a very simple.
Well, just to take their, the what I consider from the briefs one of their strongest positions. It's not just a routine audit error. The Dynegy's records were just crazy. They were very poorly, poor calculations were made, and there's some 22 billion cubic feet of gas that is unaccounted for and missing, and not explained by leaks in the system along the way, because that would have been evident in the towns through which the pipes went. So there's a large amount of gas that's unaccounted for, and they say maybe it was stolen, maybe it was diverted to third parties. Who knows? It's not our responsibility to say, because Dynegy has complete control over the process. That seems to me part of the factual foundation for their claim. And what do you say about that?
Absolutely. Well, what we say about that is that the amount of gas, so they'll call missing, is unimportant to the payment calculation because the payment calculation is based simply upon gas sold. While it is true, there are the balancing statements contain four categories of gas. Many of those, Your Honor, which we are entitled to use without payment. You can have, and I've created my own chart, you can have reasons why gas does not make it from the wellhead to the tailgate, which include loss during the process, but it also includes gas that's never there to begin with. For example, you can have mathematical errors in reading meters. You can have meter errors. You can have two-phase flow, which measures more gas than you got. You have recycling back into the plant, which double counts. You have discrepancies caused by improper sampling and testing, which inflates what you got. You can have more flare than was measured, which increases your losses. You can have more leaks than were recorded. And in this case, 84% of the leaks from this ancient system dating from the 1930s have not even been discovered, according to the testimony. There's more fuel than measured, can be more fuel than measured, because the fuel meters are improperly arranged. But what drives these contracts, Your Honor, is the dual incentive of both parties to push as much gas through the system as can be done, because neither Dynegy or Versado or Apache make money if we are losing billions and billions of dollars of gas. I think it's very important to understand that unaccounted for gas is not a room full of gas, an Alamo Dome full of gas. It is an accounting category which says, we know it's not here for sale. We just don't know why it's not here. And as I've explained, it could be because we measured too much coming in or we didn't measure enough going out.
All those possible ways that there's leakage in gas, wouldn't they all be considered lost as well?
That is our position, Your Honor, and to be candid, we haven't had much luck selling that position. We think that the word lost and unaccounted for are sometimes used together, and they mean the same thing. And, of course, gas that is lost in the system is specifically gas that we do not have to pay for.
So internally, why did Dynegy use two separate categories then, lost and unaccounted for? What was Dynegy's view of the difference between the two, at least in its accounting records?
I think it's out of sheer honesty and the nature of accountants. Let me just give a colloquial example. I suppose I'm out fishing and I knock my billfold into the water. I know that I've lost my billfold by knocking it into the water. But suppose I come back from a long trip and I can't find my billfold. I don't know if I lost it. I dropped it in the water. I don't know if it was stolen. And in fact, I don't know if I still don't have it in my luggage. I know it's lost, but I can't account for where it is. And in this particular instance, an accounting category was created, which, as I said, it's to cover the situation. We know it's not here for sale. We just don't know why.
This is kind of an improbable hypothetical, but let's say the gas is delivered at the wellhead, then Dynegy begins transporting it, and from the wellhead to the processing plant, you open whatever valve you open, and there's no gas whatsoever. None. I mean, and it's uncontested that the gas entered at the wellhead, but it just doesn't appear at the processing plant. You're saying that you would not be liable to the producer for any of that gas because it just wasn't sold. It was lost, unaccounted for. We don't know what happened to it. It's just gone.
Literally, that's true. That can happen. Now, physically, I don't know how that can happen, frankly, unless, of course, it were just all leaked out, which is a category that we don't have to pay for. If there were a tragedy where we had to flare all the gas, we wouldn't have to pay for that. So, yes, it's true. If it is simply not there for sale under these provisions of the contract, we do not have to pay for that. And I think Your Honor should bear in mind that There are contracts which do cover the situation that you were talking about, that do measure payment based upon deliveries at the wellhead. These contracts do not. These contracts are popular in the industry because they have the dual incentive for both producer and processor to get as much gas to the end of the stream as possible and to avoid all of these fights over where gas went. It's admitted in this case by everyone that the unaccounted for gas may well be lost gas, which we don't have to pay for. It may well be flared gas. It may well be some that we simply never got in the first place. But under the contracts, we don't have to pay for it because it's not gas that exists anywhere. It's not gas that can be sold. And accounting for the gas would never result in a sale of proceeds.
Counsel.
And I say we don't have to pay for it. We don't have to pay for it in a breach of contract action, which is the only thing we're dealing with.
Counsel, if there were proof that this 22 billion cubic feet of gas were intentionally taken by the processor and somehow used to its benefit without paying Apache any percentage of the proceeds, would the outcome be different?
I think the outcome would be different because that would be a theft of gas. In other words, if we rigged up a pipe somewhere and piped the gas out the back and then sold it ourselves and kept the proceeds, clearly that would be a theft, and we would have some tort responsibility for that. Probably not a contract breach.
If this gas that is unaccounted for were just kept by the processor and then used to fuel, you know, the gas is coming through the processing, it's not liquid condensate, it's gas that could be sold at the tailgate, but it's just peeled off by the processor and kept to use to power its own facilities over time. Would the outcome be different?
The outcome would not be different in those two instances because those are categories of gas that we are permitted to use, and our use is not considered a sale.
So your interpretation of the ability to use some of the gas as fuel includes no limit on that ability?
That's correct. I think it's important to look at...
Counsel, that raises another question. You talked about earlier the dual incentives, that both sides have the incentive to sell as much gas as possible at the tailgate and maximize the amount that gets there vis-a-vis the wellhead amount. If what you just said is correct, then both sides don't have the same incentive to sell as much gas at the tailgate.
Well, we certainly don't have any incentive to use excessive amounts of gas running a system that doesn't get gas out in the end. The overall efficiencies of the plant are extremely important to us, and because if we're not processing gas through to the end, regardless of what we use as fuel, what we have to flare and the like, we have to be very, very, very efficient or we're not going to be in business very long. To be candid, so there's every incentive for us, and I think you'll see on the record that we make efforts, and that's the reason, in fact, we do the internal balancing statements every month, so we're measuring the efficiency of our...
Well, perhaps, counsel, but if the processor is peeling off a lot of gas at the end just to use to power its facilities, not just this particular pipeline, but other things that it needs fuel for, then that's an expense it doesn't have to pay someone else for gas to fuel its facilities.
I see. You're talking about other facilities that we may own somewhere. Now, we're going to disregard for the fact that there is no such thing in the area here that we would be doing that for, but let's say we had an office or a plant or something. That, to me, that would probably border, again, along the lines of theft. But bear in mind, there is a portion of the definition of residue gas that says the gas bypassed around the plant is also not gas that we have to pay for, which may well actually cover the question that you have just asked. That portion of the definition was not discussed in great detail.
I take your point that there are incentives for both producer and processor to maximize the gas that goes out at the tailgate, but their answer to that is That says nothing about the damages that we've suffered by this unaccounted for gas. It just means that we both lost, but we still have a cause of action.
Well, Your Honor, to me is somewhat circular to say we have suffered damages. For example, you haven't suffered damages if the gas has simply been overmeasured and the gas was never there in the first place. There have been no damages if all of this unaccounted for gas is leaked, because we don't have to pay for that. There are no damages if, for example, El Paso, as the evidence is in this case, suffered a tremendous calamity and had to shut down, and we had to flare enormous amounts of gas. So I think those the simple fact that you don't know where it went does not convert it into a damage, and definitely does not convert it into a sale. I think.
Further questions? Thank you.
Thank you.
The court is ready to hear argument now from the respondent.
May it please the court, Mr. Harrison will present argument for the respondent.
Good morning. May it please the court. Dynegy's argument in this case proceeds from the false premise that it performed the contracts as written. It did not. The jury found that Dynegy breached the contracts by failing to provide a full detailed accounting of the gas. An express requirement of all 18 contracts at issue found in the payment provision of those contracts.
You're saying they paid for all the residue gas they were supposed to, but this is an accounting cause of action.
No, Justice Hecht. Not at all. There was a contractual obligation in the payment provision to account for all the gas. Dynegy absolutely breached that obligation. Their own expert admitted in his 35 years in the gas business, this is the worst he's ever seen a processor account for gas.
You're trying to understand if you agree or don't that whatever came out of the tailgate of the plant was paid for.
Absolutely. Yes. What actually went out the tailgate, we have been paid for. That is not the subject of this complaint. That is not what the jury found damages for. The jury found damages for what didn't go out the tailgate. The Court of Appeals found that legally sufficient evidence supports the jury's award to Apache of its benefit of the bargain expectation damages, the amount of money, Justice Heck, that Apache expected to receive if Dynegy had fulfilled its contractual obligation to account for the gas. The decisions made by the fact finders in this case, and there are two, are both supported by legally sufficient evidence and should be upheld by this court. First, the jury found that Dynegy's breach of the contracts and its unfair practices under the New Mexico Act caused Apache's damages. And second, trial judge Bruce Oakley, as fact finder, found and declared that Apache is entitled under 11 of the contracts at issue to payment for condensate collected at the compressor stations formerly known as North and South Eunice plants.
What consideration, if any, should we give the amicus briefs that were filed?
I think the amicus briefs should merit this court's full consideration. I think that they repeat arguments by Dynegy, and I think that the suggestion that Texas's oil and gas industry somehow faces a crisis based on the Court of Appeals opinion is, to put it gently, hyperbole and demonstrably untrue. There has been no crisis in the years since this opinion came down, or in the 4.5 years since the judgment was entered, or the verdict came out and articles were written about the case. The Court of Appeals is absolutely right. If gas processors honor their contracts, they have nothing at all to fear. It is easy to calculate damages exactly the way Apache calculated damages and the jury found damages in this case. You take the volumes of unaccounted for gas, you multiply those volumes by the monthly weighted average price, and that's your calculation.
What if those volumes were just lost?
We know, Your Honor, that they were not in this case. The evidence in this case contained at Volume 6, Record 78 to 82, and Volume 7, Record at 228 to 229, is fuel flare leaks and sales cannot possibly account for the unaccounted for gas. It wasn't lost.
Cannot possibly account for all of it, or cannot possibly account for any of it?
In the words of Dynegy's corporate representative at trial, can only account for a, quote, tiny, tiny, tiny percentage, Justice Brisker.
And wasn't he talking about leaks?
Absolutely.
What about flares? And what about fuel and other, you know, potential?
Yes, Your Honor, the litany that we heard from counsel opposite. The evidence at trial was unequivocal and repeated that those at best are rounding error and absolutely cannot account for the 22 billion cubic feet of gas unaccounted for by
Dynegy. What about mathematical errors, you know, with the meters or problems with the equipment?
Absolutely. That was covered by the same testimony and the same evidence exists in this record. So-called.
But you don't contend they stole it?
They may have, Your Honor. There's no evidence in the record that they did.
Oh, well, I mean,
it,
I was referring, to the record.
We're comfortable with the record, absolutely, because the record disproves that the unaccounted gas could fall into a category for which Dynegy need not pay.
But if something happens to it, the devil took it or something, and anyway, you've got, everybody agrees, whatever comes out the tailgate, that's what we're going to get paid for. It's hard to see what the cause of action is for not doing a better job of measuring along the way.
Yeah, Justice Hecht, I think that's not the proper lens to view this through, because truly to separate accounting from payment is something that all 18 contracts don't allow us to do. The obligation to account to Apache for the gas delivered is found squarely in the payment provision, literally, payment. And that's where the obligation falls. And there's a reason for that. Because once the gas is delivered to Dynegy at the wellhead, Apache loses control of that gas. Dynegy has control of the gas. It is only Dynegy that can account for the gas, that is responsible for safeguarding the gas, which, as counsel opposite suggests, everyone has an incentive to see sold so they can get paid. Further evidence, by the way, that if the gas were accounted for, it would have been sold and we would have been paid if there had not been a breach. And so to divorce the two, the way Dynegy wants us to, is not allowed under the contracts and is senseless.
Well, if you could point to the provision, I mean, it's easy to see why payment is required on the volume delivered at the end, but what in the contract says, and if you don't account for flares and plant use and falling out of the line and whatever, that's also you also may have to pay damages for that.
Fair question. Or put even more aggressively, if I might, Your Honor, what in the contract says they've got to pay for unaccounted for gas? And the answer to that is, of course, nothing in those words says so in the contract, because the parties did not contemplate there would be unaccounted for gas, because the contracts expressly require Dynegy to account for the gas. So the question becomes, given Dynegy's breach, what is the appropriate measure of damages? And the evidence at trial is that Apache is entitled to its benefit of the bargain expectation damages. And Your Honor's question about the change in control, that Dynegy becomes in possession of the gas, is precisely why it was Dynegy's obligation, if it wanted to escape paying damages for it, for its breach here, to account for the gas and put it in a category where it need not be paid. They failed to do that throughout.
Let's take the devil's advocate side of the argument you're making. The 22 billion cubic feet was 2% of the total gas produced over time under these contracts. So it sounds like a lot, but it's 2%.
6%, Your Honor. But
6% for all parties, as I understand the briefing, for Apache's wells, it was only 2%. There's a difference there, then you can clear it up with some post-submission briefing. So it sounds like a lot, but perhaps it wasn't as much as it sounds. One point. The other side of the other point in the devil's advocate argument is for parties that want to focus on production at the wellhead and ensure that they get as much of that paid in their percentage of proceeds later, they then enter into contracts that say you pay based upon production at the wellhead. These contracts said pay based upon sales at the tailgate, at the end of the processing. And there are many contracts out there in the industry that say our payment formula is based upon production at the wellhead. These contracts don't say that. Answer those 2 points.
Absolutely, Your Honor. There are other kinds of contracts in the industry. Indeed, there are other kinds of contracts at issue in this case on which Apache did not sue. Exhibits 18 and 19 that expressly, unlike all contracts at issue in this case, carve out unaccounted for gas as a category for which Apache need not be paid. The answer to Your Honor's question, the duty on Dynegy to pay based on what goes out the tailgate, the percentage of proceeds, is not the only duty in the contract. In fact, that duty isn't even found in the payment provision. It's found in the pricing provision of these contracts. The payment provision contains the duty to account, as we have discussed. And indeed, counsel opposite, in argument to this court and in their briefing, says that that duty to account is, quote, unimportant, or in their briefs, inoperative, based on the way Dynegy interprets this contract to look only at the tailgate. That flatly violates this court's bedrock principles of contract interpretation, as stated so many times, but certainly in the Ballindra 1998 decision. Courts, quote, must read all parts of the contract together, striving to give meaning to every sentence, clause, and word to avoid rendering any portion inoperative. Dynegy in its briefs and here concedes that its, in my view, unreasonable interpretation does just that in violation of this court's bedrock principles of interpretation, but further, Justice Wainwright. It is contrary to the intent of the parties, as evidenced within the contract, for Dynegy to pay only based on what goes out the tailgate in the event of a breach. Most of these contracts contain a, quote, purpose clause, which provides that the purpose for Apache to deliver the gas is to be paid for it. That is also the dual incentive concept proposed by counsel opposite here and in the briefs. And Dynegy's vice president, Clark White, the highest ranking person to testify at trial for Dynegy, said, quote, the reason that Apache gives Dynegy its gas is so it can be paid for that gas, period, end quote. That's the evidence of the intent of the parties here. And so to focus solely on the tailgate, to the exclusion of other contract provisions, to the exclusion of the purpose here, is inconsistent with the contracts and doesn't address what happens in the event there is a breach, as there was here, by Dynegy. One last point on that. There's a recent statute passed by the Texas legislature.
That doesn't provide for damages, right? I mean, you get the accounting, and I don't know, maybe there are some administrative penalties, but is, you know, would under the new resource code or whatever, do you get damages for a failure in accounting?
No, absolutely not.
Right.
Absolutely not. But Section 85.065 at Sections C, 7, and 9 of the Texas Resource Code is very interesting because, Justice Heck, it distinguishes between lost and unaccounted for gas, comparing Section 7 and 9. The Texas legislature recognizes those are two different things.
Yeah, but I guess my point is I can understand and I can even understand the jury being mad based on the evidence of this very sloppy accounting. But the question is different from that to me, and that is, what does the contract provide for? How is Apache compensated for producing this gas? And it seems the contract says you're compensated when the gas is sold at the tailgate. And if that's done, then maybe you have some you can go to the court to require an accounting. Maybe there's negligence along the way, so, you know, the pipeline exploded, and maybe you have some damages from that, but a breach of contract seems a far stretch.
Mr. Chief Justice, the payment provisions of the contracts in the event there is no breach do not define damages in the event there is a breach. I'd like to also turn the Court's attention to the condensate issue, the declaratory judgment, because there Judge Oakley granted Apache, as fact finder, a declaratory judgment, and that declaratory judgment should be upheld if it can be sustained upon any legal theory supported by the evidence.
These are the two Unis plants now.
Absolutely, Your Honor. The contracts, I believe, are ambiguous on this point because they don't say what happens in the event that facilities that are used as plants continue to operate exactly as they did with respect to the compressors, but the rest of the plant is mothballed. Contracts don't tell us. It's ambiguous. And therefore, if legally sufficient evidence supports Judge Oakley's declaratory judgment, this Court should uphold it.
I was unclear whether the condensate is falling out of the line at the compressors or someplace else in the line, or where is it happening?
All over. Condensate, typically called, in the words of Vice President White, nuisance condensate, falls out in the gathering line, in the 5,500 miles of line that Dynegy speaks about. That is not what the declaratory judgment covers. That is not what we have sought or are seeking here. We seek only the condensate that falls out at the high-powered compressors at the North and South Unis facilities, the exact same compressors that were in place when Dynegy used those facilities as full-fledged plants. The compressors are the same. The pressure is the same. The amount of condensate is the same. Clark White testified, and I quote, at 5 Record 77, if that compression was in the plant, then they would be due liquids for that compression, end quote. The only difference is when Dynegy changes what happens around those compressors, the other processing, does that somehow eliminate their obligation to pay for condensate? I submit the answer is no. There's evidence of that, and it comes straight from the contracts. The Court of Appeals took away the declaratory judgment based on its misapplication of the word plants. Well, of the 11 contracts at issue in the declaratory judgment, 6 define plant and 6 don't. All 6 define plant exactly this way. Quote, plant shall mean the facilities used by buyer to process gas. Contemplates multiple facilities. Contemplates processing of gas. Clark White testified at 5 Record 77-79, quote, processing of gas includes the removal of liquid hydrocarbons through compression, end quote. Applying only the definitions in the contract, the compressors at the North and South Unis absolutely fall within the definition of plant, and Apache should be paid, just like Bruce Oakley's declaratory judgment found. Furthermore, the North and South Unis facilities, Justice Tech, still exist. Simply, the non-compressor parts have been mothballed, aren't being used. But the compressors are in the same way. Dynegy's argument elevates form over substance by saying that because we, Dynegy, are no longer using these facilities as full-fledged plants, that should change the meaning of the contract.
Looking back to the contract claim really quickly, quick choice of law question. Nobody disputes the application of Texas contract law to the contract claim.
Absolutely correct? Right, Justice Willie. And on that point, I should note, there is, of course, another claim that gets at those same damages, and that is the New Mexico Unfair Practices Act claim. That claim gets to the same result as the breach of contract claim. We certainly don't seek recovery under both. But the evidence of Dynegy's unfair and indeed deceptive practices in this case is overwhelming. Dynegy's own vice president, Mr. White, admitted very clearly that Dynegy's reporting to Apache has been bad, and they're beginning to think it is really false. That is reporting with respect to the unaccounted for gas. That is
strong evidence. So you, is your position that you might lose the contract claim but still win the statutory claim?
In fairness, Your Honor, yes and no. Let me be clear, though. It depends on the reason why this court might not give us, might not uphold the jury's verdict on the contract claim. There certainly are some overlapping reasons. I think that we certainly could have the contract claim taken away and prevail on the Unfair Practice Act, but it would depend on what the court does and why. But I will say, of course, the New Mexico Act also provides for nominal damages of $100, trebled, which would be laughable, Justice Willett, except that it mandatorily requires an award of attorney's fees, which here are in the neighborhood of $875,000 to Apache.
Yes, just quickly, if Donaghy's out of negligence in transporting caused an explosion, a bunch of gas leaks out, you wouldn't have a breach of contract claim.
Agreed. Absolutely. That would be lost.
Curious because the negligence was in the accounting rather than how they actually lost it.
I think that's not quite right, Justice Brisker. Certainly if the gas were lost, an explosion, a cataclysmic event like that, or even a large leak or a small one, would indeed be lost gas and we would not get paid. But to say that the only alternative is a failure to account is incorrect under the contracts and I think doesn't give the Texas legislature its due for recognizing this distinction. There was a breach here. There is strong evidence of that breach by Dynegy. Apache should be entitled to recover its expectation damages under either the breach of contract theory or the New Mexico Act, in which case we would urge a remand for consideration of treble damages.
One quick question. If we agree with Dynegy on their tailgate-centered interpretation of the contract, what does that do? What does that basis do to your New Mexico claim?
Justice Willis, well, that would be a shame because it would not give effect to bedrock principles of contract interpretation. It would be inconsistent with the contract. But the answer to your question is if that is how this court goes, that would leave us with nominal damages under the New Mexico Act.
Any further questions? Thank you.
Thank you.
May it please the court. On the contract question, there is one fundamental flaw in my good friend's excellent argument. He began his argument not by stating what the jury found, which was did we fail to pay for unaccounted for gas, failed to comply with the contracts. He said we breached the contracts by not giving a full detailed accounting of unaccounted for gas, and then makes the bold statement. If the gas had been accounted for, it would have been sold, and that is just simply not true. I said earlier, unaccounted for gas is gas we know it's not there, but we don't know why. It is undisputed and in this case, and Apache has conceded, that there is no evidence that the unaccounted for gas is anything but fuel, flare, or loss. And if it's one of those categories, it's a category we can use without cost to us. Therefore, accounting for whatever that means, unaccounted for gas, would result in no additional sales because accounting for it would not produce gas that could be sold. And there can be no damages for unaccounted for gas even if we knew where it was and we could put it in a category, because it is not gas that would be available for sale.
What's the formula you use to calculate lost gas?
Lost gas is generally assigned to leaks in the system. This system dates from the 1930s and candidly is very leaky. It's estimated that we can find only 84% of the leaks, and some of those leaks may have been in existence for quite a long time. We do the best we can by flying the lines, by walking the lines, and when we find leaks, we repair them. but we assign just an arbitrary, you know, amount of the leak based on an arbitrary number of days to those leaks, but because we and that. It, the leaks could have been longer and have lost more gas, and they're, as I say, 84% of the leaks we probably don't know.
So you're saying you calculate the leaks not by a process of deduction, but by a process of measurement, which is admittedly not perfect.
Measure those that we can find.
How do you calculate, what formula do you use to calculate unaccounted for gas?
Unaccounted for gas is gas that we cannot, is left over, from the amount measured into the system that we can't put in one of the under categories. We don't know that it's not in one of those categories. We just can't say we cannot measure it.
So you measure on the, to the in a different way, unaccounted for gas by process of deduction.
Yes. Well, yes, by process of deduction or elimination. We would love to be able to put it in a category, quite frankly, but we're being honest enough to say we can't do that.
Mr. Hurston says he can still recover under the New Mexico statute even if he were to lose the contract.
I think that the court may have to consider the New Mexico statute, but without seeing what the opinion is going to look like, I think that it is highly unlikely that there could be any recovery, because if we prevail on the theory that we have not breached the contract, I don't see where there is any basis for liability under the Act. Here's the question that was submitted to the jury. Was there any false or misleading representation knowingly made in connection with the provision of services which tends or does deceive or mislead any party and includes failing to state a material fact if doing so tends to deceive? The only my understanding is that they're saying that you didn't provide us the balancing statements. But if you hold that the provisions of the contract that control are not the balancing statements, but the settlement statements, that the balancing statements are simply our internal proprietary information, then there is nothing that we didn't tell them. The settlement statements that we gave them, everybody says, were perfect. So you have four lines of inquiry under the Act. First of all, they're not a buyer, so they have no standing under New Mexico law. We made no misrepresentations because we had no duty to supply the balancing statements. There was no deception by admission in failing to reveal the balancing statements because they were not material to the calculation of anything. And they have no damages because they were paid under the contract for all gas that was sold.
Now, the amicus brief seemed to indicate that if Apache prevails, that the industry is going to collapse.
Well, these are contracts that are in existence. The industry has always understood that payment obligations are measured by what is sold at the end of the pipeline. If we now have an implied obligation, and bear in mind, Your Honor, as to some of the contracts, the obligation is implied by, quote, industry standard. If that an unknown payment obligation is imported into these contracts, what do we do? How do we measure the gas? When was it sold? And what was the price? Because this is gas that does not exist and was never available for sale. And that's what creates chaos in the accounting.
Are you aware of any other lawsuits filed, claims made in light of the judgment in this case?
Not yet, but the last appendix to the petition for review contains an article exhorting all producers to start now demanding balancing statements and bringing suits. So, but I'm not aware of any that have occurred yet, but we can certainly look into that.
Any further questions?
Thank you.
Thank you, counsel. The cause is submitted, and the court will take another brief recess.